All right, I'm sitting here with Northside Houston rappers, Scrap Bundy, and his producer, Belden, otherwise known as Belden Did That. And we're just going to talk. This is for Coov Radio. So I guess my first question is, how'd you come up with the name? That's a pretty interesting name.
Which name, Scrap Bundy?
Yeah.
Shit, I was already Scrap. Like, when I was already Scrap. Like, my name been Scrap. Like, my daddy named Scrap.
Okay.
So, they was calling me Scrap already because they sounded like my dad. So, I was already Scrap. And then after Scrap, I was Scrap both.
Okay.
Because it was like, that's when I first started rapping. I was like fucking 14 or some shit. It was Scrap O. And I was like, fuck, my daddy named Scrap. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to be Scrap. I need to be, add something to it. So, I was like, fuck it, Scrap O. And then when I got to high school, I used to have like a fucking curly ass afro and shit. Like, that bitch was curly as fuck and shit. And like, I used to like be on some mafia shit. Like, I was into that mafia shit. So I had to start calling myself Scrap O Pacino. Like, Al Pacino. So I was like, fuck. You know, really one of my homeboys too. Like, I had came to school one day early in the morning, like right before class and shit. And it was like, bitch, you look like a Mexican. And that nigga started calling me Pacino. And I was like, fuck, that shit really kind of love Pacino. I fuck with Al Pacino. Fuck it, Scrap O Pacino. And then, what happened after that? Oh, yeah, it's a movie called Belly. You know, Belly with DMX and shit. It's like a movie called Belly or whatever, like a drug movie and shit with DMX. Like a fucking legendary ass movie. The main character, which is DMX, his name was Bundy on there.
Okay.
So I fucked with that shit hard. It was Bundy. And my name was still Scrap O Pacino, but you know what I'm saying? I just started kind of fucking with the Bundy shit. And then we was fucking around one day. This was like 2014. We was fucking around one day. And Belden started playing the beat. And I was just like, Young Scrap Bundy hit licks. Young Scrap Bundy ain't never been, you know what I'm saying? I was just fucking around on that hoe. And I ended up recording the shit. And I was still Scrap O Pacino, you know, so I started recording the shit. Dropped the shit. People start reacting to it, you know what I'm saying? Better than I thought that was, you know what I'm saying? I ain't think shit of it. So people start reacting to it. So it was like, fuck it. We shot a video. We ain't have no video, man. I found this nigga I went to school with that had a fucking camera, took pictures. I was like, bro, I'll give you $50, you shoot me a video. We was in the hood. We went to my partner's house. We went in his mama backyard. We shot the video. And we was just fucking around. We was at the Galleria, shot some shit, fucking around. And we was like, fuck it, people like this hoe. Let's just drop a fucking video. Let's drop my first video. I dropped Scrap Bundy. And people start fucking with it. Like, Fuse start coming in. People was coming in. Fire, 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 fire. Like, motherfuckers was hitting me up. Greg reached out to me and made an article about it. People start fucking with that shit. So I was like, damn. And I think my homeboys kept on telling me. They was like, bro, just call yourself Scrap Bundy. Just call yourself Scrap Bundy. I was like, fuck that shit. I've been fucking Scrap O Pacino all my life. You know what I'm saying? I can't change that shit. And when people came to like see me in the mall and shit, they always call me Young Scrap Bundy. Oh, look, Young Scrap Bundy. It's Young Scrap Bundy. It was Young Scrap Bundy. So I was like, fuck it. And I was like, okay, I'm Scrap Bundy. I'm Scrap Bundy. That's so how that shit came.
It was kind of just like you were forced to take the name.
Yeah, I was forced to take the name. Like, the name was forced on me because when I made the song, Young Scrap Bundy, everybody assumed, like, okay, his name is Young Scrap Bundy.
Yeah.
So I was like, fuck it. You know what I'm saying? Because I don't want nobody to be like, hey, you heard of Scrap O Pacino? They be like, who?
Yeah.
And the whole time, they know who I am. They just know me as Scrap Bundy. So I was like, fuck it, bro. I'm Scrap Bundy. Like, so really, the name just made itself type shit.
And so, Belden, you've produced all of his songs, right?
All of my songs.
Every single one?
Matter of fact, he wasn't even producing at first. Like, I had went to like a fucking, I was going to this other studio, and this old dude was making all my beats. And he was in the studio, and he was like, he was just sitting there, and I was like, yeah, this shit hard, this shit hard. I was trying to hype everybody up and shit. Everybody was just sitting there looking stupid and shit. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, I guess. So when we left the studio, I was like, what's up? Y'all fucking with the tracks or whatever? You know what I'm saying? I just paid for $75 for these beats. Y'all fucking with them? And Belden was like, bro, stop fucking with these old niggas. Let me make your beats. And I was like, hell nah, nigga. You don't know how to make beats. And he was like, bro, for real. Let me make your beats. I'm, you know what I'm saying? I'm finna start making beats. And he started making my beats. And it was just like, people knew it, you know what I'm saying, fourth with him more, like Frank Lucas, you know what I'm saying, all those biggest songs. It was just like, yo, it's a good combination. Like, you know what I'm saying? So ever since then, it was like, I don't want to get on nobody else's beat. You know, fuck it. Because I already know, Belden going to call me with a beat. 2 seconds, I'm going to have a song done. It's just that type of vibe with it. I go to anybody else's beat, it's like, shit take me time to do it. It don't be the same type of outcome. So it's like, shit, I don't let nobody else make my beats.
Yeah, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Or if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Yeah, exactly. So,
If it ain't broke, don't fix it. You know what I'm saying? I want to work with other producers in the future, but coming to Houston, I'm only going to work with one producer. You know what I'm saying? I want to reach out to like Atlanta producers and shit, like Metro Boomin and shit, but any upcoming producer, you got to damn near pay me to get on your beat. I don't fuck with nobody else's beats.
So is that how y'all met?
Their beats?
Yeah.
Hell no.
So how'd y'all meet?
Shit, I was like 17 years old and shit. I got my first job and shit. I was in high school. I was like a fucking junior in high school. I was 17. I started working at this shit called Movie Tavern. And I was like a fucking food runner and shit, like carrying trays and shit. And like, it was this fat boy that worked up there. This fat ass nigga. It's my homeboy and shit, you know what I'm saying? But it's this fat ass nigga. He rapping shit too. He know Tim, his name Lou. He worked at the Movie Tavern too. You know what I'm saying? And he was like, yo, bro, I got a studio in my crib. This is my first time meeting him, 17. I'm aware. I got a studio in my crib. You know what I'm saying? You could come record anytime you want to for free. We can make songs. He lied to me and shit. He was like, I'm cool with fucking Young Money and shit. You know, at 17, Young Money was fucking hot.
Yeah.
He like, I'm cool with Young Money and shit. So I was like, bet. I started fucking with him. And like a week later, he started working up there. And they had already knew each other from school. So he started working up there. And I was fucking with the fat dude, and he was always around. So he was just, you know what I'm saying, that's how we met. We really just met, like, some at-work shit. And then we met on some music shit at work, and it was like, we just started fucking around with it, and, you know what I'm saying, we just been fucking with each other since then. Yeah.
See, like, a lot of people just don't do that anymore, you know, like, a producer exclusively works with an MC, or an MC exclusively works with a producer, like, that used to be kind of like what people did like back in the day earlier. But like, do you think, you know, that makes your music better just because you have that cohesiveness from working together for so long?
I mean, really, this shit, it was never like a plan. It wasn't no type of plan shit. Like, it really just happened like that. Cause it's like, I was already fucking with him on some personal everyday shit.
Mm-hmm.
I rap, he make beats. So it's like half the time we chilling, we fucking smoking, rapping, and making beats. So it's like, once you do that shit for so long, like 2 years and shit, like behind the scenes, you know what I'm saying, and on actual recording studio, it's like that shit just be natural. You know what I'm saying? It's like you can't, I feel like when it comes to like beats and rappers, it's like it gotta be some type of vibe and shit. It gotta be the right vibe. It's not the right vibe, the shit gonna be trash. Like, it gotta be the right vibe and shit. And like Gucci and Zaytoven, I feel like all Gucci biggest songs to me was made with Zaytoven. You know, like Chief Keef and Young Chop. Chief Keef biggest songs to me was the ones produced by Young Chop.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and it just keep going, like those type of relationships. Like, if it ain't broke, like you said, well, I fix that shit. It's like, with him, it's like, it don't even seem like we making a song. It's like, shit, we smoking and fucking around. And shit just happened like that. That's how Metro Boomin and Future shit was. They just be fucking around, smoking and shit. And shit just come out hot like that. And with other producers and shit, it's gonna be too forced. Like, oh shit, I gotta do this because you make beats and I rap. So this is what we supposed to do. You know what I'm saying? But we're building and shit. With somebody you've been fucking with, is like, we not making no music and shit. Like, we doing what the fuck we do on a normal daily basis. We finna smoke and fuck around. You know what I'm saying? And it worked like that.
So what's the whole OTM, off the muscle, thing about?
I'm high as fuck. OTM, that shit mean off the muscle and shit, clearly. What that really came about was, Because I changed my fucking group name. So, you know, everybody got to have a fucking crew name.
Yeah.
So, we had a lot of corny ass shit. Like, I think first we was called some shit, like, because I had made Grammy, the Young Scrap Bunny, because Grammy. Grammy motherfucker. Quick. So, we first started calling ourselves Grammy Gang. You know what I'm saying? It was corny and shit. That was, like, around Frank Lucas' time. And then we started, like, that's when we started getting features from Dice, fucking with Dice, and fucking with Cheddar the Connect and JP. That's when we was, like, starting to kind of, you know, build that name. And we started just realizing a lot of shit, like, how shit go and how shit work. Because at first, it was just us fucking around. Then once we started actually fucking with people that's in the industry, like, Lil JP was back then, and Cheddar the Connect and all of them, we started realizing the other side of it, like the business side of it. And we was like, bro, like, it's a lot of behind the scenes shit going on. You got dudes that say they don't have a label, but they got people putting money behind them. You got people that's paying big amount of money for features because they got some type of rich ass uncle or like sport, you know, some parents that spoil them, that's giving them money and they spending their money on rap shit. Or, you know what I'm saying? Like, it was like a lot of people taking a lot of shortcuts. Like, they had other little shit going on. And we was like, really, like, busting our ass for the shit. Like, it wasn't like no type of handout shit. We wasn't paying for no features. We wasn't fucking having nobody put money behind our videos. And we had some big ass promo team and magazine that pushed it for us. We wasn't cool with no fucking people in Houston that got money and shit that's just gonna rock with us, like rap a lot of shit. We was doing all that shit off the muscle, like by ourselves. And we were still getting the same type of attention as the motherfuckers that did have money put behind them. Like, it's people my age that rap that's hot on the north side that got a lot of money getting invested into them. You know what I'm saying? We didn't have none of that shit. So everything that we got, it was off the muscle. So we started calling ourselves Off the Muscle, you know. And that's how that just stuck. And of course, shortening it up, OTM. And that shit just stuck like that. I see a lot of people saying Off the Muscle now too. I know it's probably been around and shit, but niggas weren't saying that shit like that till we started saying that shit.
So, what software do you use to produce?
Shit, FL Studio.
FL Studio?
Yeah.
All right. Have you ever used anything else, or has it just always been FL?
Nah, that's like home to me, bro.
So that's like what you came up on and everything? Yeah. That's what you learned on, so you're comfortable there?
Yeah. I mean, I used to fuck around on, like, some engineering type shit. So that's how I easily learned how to make beats, because I already knew how to read notes and shit like that. And I already had a good ear, so FL Studio just was compatible with me.
Okay. So who do you craft, like, your beats after? Like, who's your inspiration when you, like, start producing?
I don't, like, to be honest, I was making like a bunch of trap shit, like trap type shit before, like, I was
he started off with R&B shit.
Yeah,
he was making R&B shit.
Like, I never, like, I can never say I looked up to anybody, because when you listen to my beats, I got my own sound, you know.
Yeah.
So it's like, when I make something, it's just freestyling. I'm freestyling. If I ever make a beat, I don't ever think of what to make. It just comes in first hand. So
yeah, that's why I say that collab shit so fucking loud, bro. Like, they're producing rapper collabo shit.
Mm-hmm.
That shit loud as fuck. You know what I'm saying? It's just a lot of niggas don't got that shit.
Yeah.
That shit loud as fuck. Cause like you said, it just be a freestyle, and it's like, depending on the type of beat he is, like, what level he on is with the beats, that's what level I'll be on the song. Like, for instance, if he give me, like, that's cool, cool-ass beat, he gonna get a cool-ass track, and it's gonna be a cool-ass track out. If he make an R&B-ass beat, it's gonna sound like an R&B-ass song for me. If he start getting better with the beats, my delivery, my flow, all that shit gonna get better on the beats. If he make a new wave-ass beat, you gonna get a new wave-ass scrub. You know, so it's like, it moved together. It's like not one person getting left behind type shit. It's like, that's type of fucking compatible type shit. That's why I say this new project gonna really be some shit. Because he got better, like, better. Like, no type of shit that ain't been heard before type shit. Like, I feel like he probably like at his best right now as far as with the beats, as far as like master the shit. So like I said, if he at his best as far as mastering the shit, when you hear how I'm on the songs and how I approach the beats, I'm at my best.
All right, so it's fair to say that y'all haven't like peaked though, right? This isn't like where you're gonna plateau, you know, flatline. You're gonna keep getting better, obviously, right? Hell, that's always the goal, right?
You gotta do that shit. It's
like about, that's like the whole gym mentality, right? That y'all have kind of going on. Kind of swagger.
Off the muscle, you gotta. Off the muscle, it's all about, you know, the muscle. You either gonna sink or you gonna swim. You either gonna be weak or you gonna be strong. And it's like half stepping and weak shit and lazy shit and, you know, don't want to do nothing, that shit ain't gonna get you nowhere. You gotta continue putting in work. Any people you see out here that's muscular and got this fucking magazine ass fucking body, they put in work. You know, that shit ain't come from sitting on the couch looking on the internet. That's where I got off the muscle. That's where we get the gym talk. That's where we get all that shit from. You gonna do it the bullshit way or you gonna do it the strong way? We chose the strong way. You know what I'm saying? That's how we do that every time. So it's always gonna be growth. That's how I look at it. I don't put out shit unless I feel like it's better than the last shit I put out. Like, it'd be a lot of times we making beats and shit and we sitting down and he'd be like, yeah, that's it, bro. That's it. That's it. You got to drop that. And I'd be like, hell no, nah, because the song I dropped last week sound better than this. So I don't care how hard this shit is. If it ain't harder than my last shit, I'm not putting it out. Like, I'm real picky. It's real picky, real picky. So it's going to continue to be a growth thing. That's why it's crazy, because right now I feel like I'm at my best. So I know I'm going to get better than that. So we already know what it is when you're better than your best.
So who in Houston do y'all want to reach out to but haven't been able to reach out to?
Nobody.
Nobody?
Hell no. Nah.
You don't really care about the city?
Nah, not even that. Like you said reached out to that we want to reach out to. You know what I'm saying? It's not that type of situation. Like, me personally, the people I fuck with in Houston, not fuck with, like, I don't fuck with you if I didn't name you type shit, but the people that I fuck with on a music level, like, I kind of a fan of them as well. Me being a rapper, I'm a fan, is Maxo Kream.
Okay.
And I'm not a fan of Trill, Sammy, and Dice, but I'm a fan of the shit that they doing right now. You know what I'm saying? Like, how they making it happen and how they really taking it to the next level and how they came from what they came from, you know what I'm saying, to actually be doing the type of shit they doing. So I'm a fan of their hustle. And I'm a fan of Maxo Kream just as an artist, period.
Yeah.
And I already reached out to Maxo Kream. You know, we done ran into each other a few times. We didn't talk, you know what I'm saying, chopped it up and shit, you know what I'm saying? So that's already there as far as on the reach out note. And Dice, as you know what I'm saying, everybody know, I did a song with Dice in 2014. So I already done reached out, you know what I'm saying? Trill Sammy, I haven't personally reached out to him, but, you know, him and Belden probably have some shit coming in their future. You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to say too much about that, but... So as far as that I want to reach out to, I feel like if I haven't reached out to you yet, I don't want to reach out to you. Because I'm all about hustle. I'm about grind. If you stay in my city, it's no reason why I shouldn't have had ran into you if I'm in the same type of business that you're in. That's just hustle. You know, so if you're a rapper, it's only right that you are either around or have surrounded yourself or worked with other rappers in your city that's doing it, doing what the fuck you want to be doing. So as far as in Houston, I feel like I didn't reach out to everybody that I personally want to fuck with. You know, I'm really kind of ready to take it to the next level, kind of get out of Houston. You know, there's only so much you're going to get in Houston. Yeah. Like, what you see is what you get. I kind of want to reach out to some out-of-town people like Atlanta and, you know, some probably like, you know, Uzi and shit. Like, I just want to reach out to a whole nother market now. I feel like I didn't reach out to everybody I can reach out to in Houston on a music note. Except for some of the DJs. There's some DJs out here in Houston that I'm still trying to get to. But as far as rappers and shit like that, hell no.
I just had a question and I forgot it. So, what do you think of... what do you think of, like... Jesus. Like, going to something like South by Southwest that's still, like, here in the state... But it's like a national thing, you know. All these media outlets from around the country come to Austin, and like people like Dope Easy, other Houston rappers have gotten like their national fame from being at South by Southwest just for like one short little set. Because it gets your name out there to people that aren't usually here in this like area. Because Houston especially is a pretty like convoluted hip hop arena. Because there's so many different people from so many different parts of the city trying to come up.
Yeah.
And so like I feel like that's one of the only ways you can stay in the city and really come out of the state, you know, get a little more recognition outside of the city.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I feel that exact same way. Due to the fact that it's like, as far as Houston go, all the artists in Houston that are the most successful are artists that stepped out of Houston. You get what I'm saying?
Exactly.
From Beyonce to Slim Thug. Slim Thug then did his share of moving around.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Sauce Walker, when he had his explosion, he's still hot, you know what I'm saying? Not saying he don't have it no more, but when he had his explosion, his first explosion, he had to start moving around more. He started going to Atlanta more. He was in Atlanta every week. And, you know, he was in L.A. He was in Las Vegas. Like, he was moving around. He had to do that. He had to go fly to Cali to meet up with Drake and stuff. Like, you have to step out. Trill Sammy. I feel like when they first started having their explosion, it was in Houston, of course. But what took it to the next level was once they started performing in Canada. They was in L.A. every week. They was in Atlanta, like, moving around. And, you know what I'm saying, stepping outside of Houston. Same thing with Maxo Cream. When he had his explosion and first started just getting hot, he was mainly in New York a lot, you know. So the people that I look at as the most successful in Houston are the ones that stepped out of Houston. You know, you gotta step out, because in Houston it's harder, you know, as far as on the music side, because everybody wanna rap, everybody wanna be that guy, you know, everybody wanna be the hottest. So it's more of a competition thing than a collaboration thing. You know, like, some people have songs with each other and shit, but it's more on a competition note. Like, everybody trying to get out of Houston. You know, ain't nobody trying to help each other make Houston hotter. Everybody trying to get hot and then get the fuck. You know, so it's a different state. Like, in Atlanta, they more on the type of shit where it's like, let's get hot for Atlanta. You know, let's all be hot so Atlanta can be hot. You know what I'm saying? In Houston, it's more like, let's all get hot so we can get the fuck out of Houston. You get what I'm saying? So that's how it is out here.
So do you think, like, Atlanta's method of, like, just kind of working together is better than Houston, just kind of, like, the competition of it?
Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
It's like everybody's just trying to bite off each other, you know?
Hell yeah. Because, I mean, that's how it's going to go, though. You know, like, when you're in the same city, you're from the same city. Not all the time, but somewhere in it, you're gonna sound like somebody else in your city because y'all got the same influences, you're from around the same shit, probably grew up on the same music, you know, so you're gonna have that similarity. But in Houston, when you have that similarity, you automatically get X'd out. Like, for instance, Sauce Walker, when he came out, he came with that whole new type of flow where his ad-libs and everything that he was doing was different, and he blew with it. You know, anybody that come after Sauce Walker that take his same ad-libs and his same flow and shit, they're going to be looked at as, you know, you're trying to be like Walk, you know, so you already X'd out. We don't want to fuck with you because you're trying to be like somebody else in the city. You know, same thing with Trill, same thing with Max. So anybody that's hot, if they were to take anybody else's sound in the city, they'll automatically get X'd out in box. You know, that's why all of them have different flows and different vibes and different energy, and that's why they're hot. In Atlanta, it's more like you might have five rappers that sound just like Quavo and them, you know, but they don't get boxed and X'd out. They get looked at it like, yeah, bitch, like, you on the wave, you hot, you like us. Same thing with Rich Homie and Lucci. You know, Rich Homie, Lucci, and Future, they all got that same similar flow. You know, then you got Skipper the Flipper, Takeoff, Quavo, Migos, Mango Fool, and all of them have that same similar flow. And then you got 21 Savage, like, all of them all had the same similar flow, but they're all hot, and they're all eating, and nobody's hating. You know what I'm saying? Everybody getting money. In Houston, it's not like that. It's like people more focused on, let me listen and see if he's trying to be like me. And if he's not, I fuck with him. If he is, I can't fuck with him. Never let him blow. Never promote him. Fuck him. You know what I'm saying? Instead of looking at it like, I got a big influence on this guy. Now, you can't take somebody's whole fucking identity, but you know what I'm saying? You can kind of pick what you like about that flow because you look up to him. You got motherfuckers trying to rap like Tupac, you know? That don't mean trying to be like Tupac. That just mean he got a huge influence. No, Tupac got a huge influence on him. So, yeah, it's kind of fucked up.
Yeah, if you sound the same as somebody else, you should, like, give that person props.
Be yeah, like, props, oh, like,
yeah, let's work together, you know.
Yeah.
I'll teach you what you don't know, and you will teach me what I don't know, you know.
That's how I look at it. Because, and it's just fucked up, it's just, we all had that same mindset in Houston. And it's like, everybody just got it because I'm kind of guilty of it. And there have been times where I didn't want to fuck with somebody because I seen them say something about OTM in their song, Off the Muscle. You know, instead of me looking at it like you trying to reach out, you know, it's just a fucked up mindset, but that's just kind of how Houston atmosphere is, you know. Me personally, I don't feel like I sound like anybody in Houston. I don't feel like I sound like anybody in Houston, but I had a hard time trying to break out of my box because I kind of got placed in the same turn-up category, like, oh, Sauce Walker's turn-up, Trill Semi's turn-up, Dice turn-up, Scrap Bunny's turn-up, instead of them just being like, oh, no, Scrap Bunny hot, you know. So I had to work on breaking out of that box, but it's just like, in Houston, when you sound like somebody, you automatically fucked. Anybody successful in Houston, they came out with their own type of wave, their own type of flow, their own type of vibe. You know, it ain't really, Atlanta is different. It's like, you sound like me and the shit hot, I'm rocking with it. You know what I'm saying? Don't take my identity, but I can tell I got an influence on you and it's cool, you know, because you're grinding. So I feel like Houston kind of fucked up place to, you know, try to blow out of. You got to kind of get money and get the fuck if you want to last.
I agree, though. You guys definitely do have a pretty different sound from what is coming out of Houston. Like, when I heard your last tape, like, I was trying to figure out what this sounded like in Houston.
Yeah.
Like, I ended up just settling, like, on Danny Brown and I think... I think I said Lil Yachty, like those two. Yeah. But Lil Yachty, mostly because of your production, it reminds me of like Burberry's production. Oh, we've changed his name, right?
Yeah,
isn't it like the shit. Good Perry or something now?
I heard Burberry's trying to sue him.
Yeah. But like, crazy. It kind of has that sound, you know, like that toyish sound and those like phased out walls of bass and everything. It's really different sound, and I don't even want to say it sounds like Lil Yachty's production.
Yeah, it's just the most you can compare it to.
Yeah, and like your cadence reminds me of kind of like Danny Brown, you know? Probably like with your ad-libs and everything.
Yeah,
it reminds me of Danny Brown, but I think it's so refreshing to hear somebody that's coming out of the city that just has a completely different sound than, you know, Maxo and Paul Wall and, you know, all this Chopped and Screwed. Like, I love DJ Screw and all that, but like...
Right.
You know, I need something to...
Something fresh.
Yeah. I'm kind of tired of listening to 25 Lighters on my dresser, you know, like every other day.
It's legendary, but...
Yeah, it's legendary, but like... But
it's not this wave.
Yeah, you got to create and build and grow, and I feel like the city just kind of is...
They need that.
Yeah.
They really do need that.
All right, I just got a couple more questions. Who do y'all listen to, just like personally?
I mean, shit, when I'm on the aux.
Yeah, like when...
When I'm on the aux on a day-to-day basis, I'm playing Savage, 21 Savage. Playing Kodak. I'm playing Uzi. And of course, Future. You know what I'm saying? You gotta play some fucking Future. And that's probably all. That's probably all right there. That's all I'm probably listening to, like, on a day-to-day basis right now. Yeah, that's what I'm fucking with.
What about you?
Really the same shit.
Yeah. You
know, it's just on some young nigga shit.
Yeah, I listen to young nigga shit.
Yeah.
That's my category. I like that young nigga shit. Like, some shit that I can fucking relate to.
Yeah.
If you rapping, like, don't get me wrong, it's a lot of other shit, like Slim Thug and all that shit that go hard as fuck, but I don't got no fucking Rolls Royce. I don't got no fucking... long ass fucking money and, you know what I'm saying, the shit that you talking about, like, you older than me. That's some shit my daddy probably like, cause he didn't probably seen it or been there or done that. I need to hear some young nigga shit. Like, how much weed you fucking smoke today, bitch? Are you smoking gas or not? Because that's what the fuck I'm doing. I'm smoking fucking gas. I'm getting money. I'm fucking bitches. I'm wearing designer. And I'm living a young-ass life. So I want to listen to a motherfucker that's living how I'm living, you know? So that's just how it go. I don't really be on the lyric type point. It's just like, can I feel it? Like, can I vibe to it? If I can vibe to it and I can feel it, I'm fucking with it. I'm about how the feel, like, more the feel than what you're saying. Like, with, yo,
yeah, that I makes sense. With, I fuck with any young nigga who doing this shit. You a young nigga doing you. You know what I'm saying? You cool. You know what I'm saying? Just be you, make your own little way. You know what I'm saying? Do you and you cool.
Because first, they really was trying to count all the young niggas out. So I like the fact that it's kind of a young nigga take over right now. You know, because back when T.I. and all of them was, like, just at their best, wasn't no young niggas doing it. You know, people weren't trying to hear that young shit. That shit was gay. You know what I'm saying? Now it's like the old niggas ain't really getting a lot of play. The young niggas winning. Like, it's a young nigga wave right now.
So what's the goal for this year and the future?
Elevate. We better than I did last year. More money than I had last year. More change than I had last year, more buzz than I had last year, just more. Everything needs to be more. If I'm not gaining, then I'm not winning. You know, so it's all about elevation.
And so you got any shows coming up in the near future?
Yeah, I got a show September 1st. It's like a Stoner Fest shit that Weeball Entertainment put together. It's Eastdown Warehouse in Houston. A lot of other shows in the works, but no guaranteed gates until the business side of it is cleared up, you know, but it's a lot of other shit in the works.
And so you're planning on dropping the tape right before that show, right?
Hell yeah, I'm trying to drop the tape before August, so I can't really say what I'm shooting for 24th, but I still gotta do the business side of that too, so before August is up, you know, but the tape is really done. You know, I'm putting the final touches on the tape this today, really. You know, I'm going to finish that up today. So the tape is really done. It's just putting it out when I feel like everything is ready, but before the end of the month, for sure.
All right, well, I'll definitely have to listen to that when that comes out. But yep.
Bundy did that. Produced by Building did that. You know, that's going to be our collab tape. It's really an EP. It's only going to be 5 tracks. But, yeah. I'll definitely be the project of the year and next year. This year and next year.
All right. Well, thanks for sitting down and talking with me. This is Scrap Bundy. I'm sorry, what?
I appreciate you for pulling up on this
one. Oh, of course, man. And so this is Scrap Bundy and his producer, Belden, did that. And I'm Waylon O'Day with Coug Radio. And thanks for listening.